Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, October 7th, 2012.
And this morning, we're going to celebrate the memorial of the Lord's sacrifice for sin with the observance of the communion at the close of the service. And for the last several communion Sundays, we have been considering five of the Old Testament sacrifices that were required under the law of Moses in the Old Testament. We've considered three of them thus far, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and the burnt offering. This morning I would like for us to consider the peace offering. As we mentioned in all of these studies, and for many of you this is not new, these types are not new to you. For others it may be the first time that you're hearing it. But these sacrifices that God required of the nation of Israel during their time in the land of Palestine, they were given for a reason, not just for Israel's sake, though there was certainly a very real and practical aspect in God's relationship with them on a daily basis, but God also had a plan for us of this church age, and there are lessons for us to learn as we study these sacrifices as types of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. It took these five different sacrifices to give us to begin to give us an adequate picture of everything that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross by that one all-sufficient sacrifice. The five Old Testament sacrifices are what we call shadows. They're not the substance. They give us kind of an outline. They give us a picture of what was to come. But Jesus Christ fulfilled all of those things with the one sacrifice when he gave himself for us for the sins of the world. And so we've been looking at the details of these different sacrifices and stop and think about all of the specific instructions that God gave Moses. God didn't leave anything for Moses to think up or to invent about how he wanted to worship God. God said to the people of Israel, if you want to worship me, if you want to enjoy my blessings and my favor, this is how you must worship me. This is how you must approach me. Otherwise, there will be no relationship. There'll be no fellowship if you try to approach any other way. So God gave specific instruction. So those details mean something to us. He was painting a picture of his son, and only God knew his son. And so only God could paint the picture. And so we need to pay attention to these details and see what we can learn from them for us today in this church age, as we look back to the cross and as we look at Jesus Christ. Leviticus chapter 3, and we'll read the first five verses. Leviticus chapter 3, and verses 1 through 5. When his offering, that is, when the Israelite, and when any particular Israelite brings his offering, and when his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. All of these are to be offered to the Lord on the sacrifice, on the altar of sacrifice. And Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The peace offering is one of those voluntary offerings, and so it falls under the heading of a sweet aroma unto the Lord. God takes pleasure in what this offering represents. It brings him great desire and great pleasure. So in this passage, we begin to learn a little bit about the peace offering, and we find out that it had some of the same common elements and details that some of the other animal sacrifices that we've already studied had. But we also see that there are some unique regulations that apply only to the peace offering, and we'll continue to look at some of those. First of all, we see that like all of the animal sacrifices that were required under the law, the peace offering was to be offered without blemish. And this is stated over and over and over again. This was a detail that God wanted his people to understand, both Israel as well as ourselves in this church age. God was going to give his son without blemish, without sin, perfect. He came and put upon himself the form of man, but he was man without sin. God was going to give his best to redeem us unto himself. And so God required of Israel, you cannot offer anything but your best. I'm going to give my best. Now, the best that Israel had to offer, it was these animal sacrifices, so puny and insignificant in and of themselves. But God says, you give your best because I'm going to give my best to redeem you unto myself. Now, unlike some of the other offerings, one of the unique things about the peace offering is that the individual could choose the kind of animal that he was going to offer. Now, that's within the confines of eligible sacrifices. Only certain animals could be offered, but within that circle of eligible animals, the offerer, the Israelite, could choose which one he wanted to give out of his possessions. So that was something unique to the peace offering, and it has some meaning to us that we'll consider in just a little bit. But another aspect of the peace offering that is different is that it was offered on top of the burnt offering that we've already considered that spoke of full consecration. And so the peace offering was offered on top of the burnt offering. Now let's consider a few more details before we understand what this all speaks to us about. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10. We're given a few more details, a few more regulations, instructions concerning the peace offering. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10. This passage gives us some pretty good insight to the type that this offering pointed to, the substance, pointed to the cross of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished. Numbers 10 and verse 10 says, also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Now remember, we are celebrating a ceremony this morning that Jesus himself instituted and told us that as the church we are to celebrate, and it points us back to the finished work of the cross. And the peace offering and all of the offerings pointed forward to the cross. And here we see that one of the big aspects of the peace offering is that it was an important part of the special, joyous, holy feast that God required Israel to celebrate. I always find this fascinating that God had to command his people to be joyous. And at first that just sounds kind of silly. Why would God have to tell his people to be happy? And then I've lived 54 years and I found out why. God's people have to be told to be joyous and to be reminded why we have so much to rejoice about. And sometimes God has to bring us to a place where we're forced to remember that we might rejoice. And this is part of what the peace offering was all about. It was an important part of these joyous feasts that they were to celebrate. One last portion before we consider the details here. Leviticus 7 and verses 11 to 17. Leviticus 7 and verses 11 to 17. Now this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it from a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. That's the meal offering that we'll consider, Lord willing, next month. Besides the cakes as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And from it he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice, but on the next day the remainder of it also may be eaten. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice of the third day must be burned with fire. Now, in this passage, we actually see that there are three kinds of peace offering. We have the thanksgiving offering, and this was offered by an Israelite when he or she desired to express thanks to God for a specific blessing. Excuse me, whether it be for a deliverance or for a healing or for the birth of a child or whatever, for a specific thing, this Israelite wanted to say thank you to God, and so he would offer a peace offering that was called a thanksgiving. And then there was the vow offering. Now, this was offered when someone desired to express their obligation to God for something that they requested God to do and God did. And so, therefore, they understood, they said, God, and we see this a lot in the Old Testament, God, if you will do this, I will do that. And based on that promise, when God fulfilled his part, the peace offering was a vow offering, and it was offered unto God and acknowledged God's faithfulness and then the responsibility to respond to that faithfulness. Then the voluntary offering was simply a general acknowledgement of the goodness of God. Someone who just wanted to say, God, I just want to thank you for everything you do. And this was a voluntary offering of joy, and it was something that was a sweet aroma to God. So we see in this passage as well that it's offered together with the meal offering. So it's on top of the burnt offering, and now it's offered together with the meal offering. Possibly the most outstanding detail of the peace offering that we see in these short passages is that it is the only offering, the only sacrifice with which the offerer who offered the sacrifice was given a portion of the meat that he was to eat. And so normally the burnt offering we studied, it was burnt wholly on the altar. Some of the other sacrifices, portions of it were given to the priest, but not to the one who offered, not to the Israelite who brought the sacrifice. But with a peace offering, this is different. This is unique. Not only do the priests have their part, not only is there a part offered to God, but now the one who brings the sacrifice and benefits from the sacrifice now quite literally benefits from the meat of the sacrifice. So he participates. This is why it was an important part of the feast, because this is what provided the vast majority of the meat for all of these joyous feasts that Israel celebrated. It was because of the peace offerings that were also given to the people to share. That's an important detail. Another interesting detail related to the peace offering was that the meat had to be eaten the same day. And in one particular case, it was allowed to the second day. But after that, it all had to be burned up. There no leftovers. And so this was, again, why are these details given? What is this? Is this really scripture? Is this Bible? Do we really need to know this? Most of God's people don't know any of these instructions. So, well, we don't have to offer them, so why do we have to study it? Well, it's true, and I'm glad we don't have to offer these sacrifices. But God went to a lot of trouble to paint pictures for us, to give us these types and these shadows, so that we'd understand more about what Jesus has done for us that we might enter into the fullness of what Christ died to give us. So these things are important. They may not be thrilling at first, but when you begin to understand what they mean, you really need to be thrilled about these things. You really need to understand what they mean, because it'll cause you to walk in a deeper walk with Jesus Christ. So when we put all of these things together, we begin to understand what Jesus accomplished for us. You begin to understand that the peace offering is a symbol of the great joy and fellowship and blessings that we as believers have because Jesus became our peace offering, because he reconciled us back to God. And for many of us, reconciliation and a relationship with God, none of that's new. But this is why it's important for us to take time, like we're doing this morning, to stop and think what that means to be reconciled to God. What would we be without the life of God that we possess because Jesus died for our sins? The blessings that we enjoy in this life and in eternity because we walk in a living relationship with a living God, that is only accomplished through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. The gospel today is being corrupted. It is being watered down, and it's becoming nothing more than just a social gospel of let's try to be good people and get along with one another, and if we do that, God will be thrilled with us. But God says, if you're going to approach me, if you're going to worship me, if you're going to participate of everything that I so want to give you, you must come by the way of the cross. There is no other way to God but through faith in Jesus Christ. In any way, other way that we might invent or that we might desire, God doesn't accept. He is the source of life, natural and eternal. And we need the peace offering. And Jesus became the peace offering for us. We celebrate that this morning as we think of the reconciliation that we have because of Jesus Christ. We come because he was the sin offering, because he was the trespass offering. He paid the debt of all of my sin once and for all when he died on the cross. I thank God for the sin offering, the trespass offering. We joyously celebrate our peace this morning because it is on the solid foundation. It's put on the burnt offering. The consecration, Jesus gave his life for me. He laid down his life wholly and fully for me. And it's on that solid foundation of his utter consecration, his full consecration, that I have peace this morning because God accepted the sacrifice of his son. We haven't looked at the meal offering yet, but it speaks to us of that sinless perfection of the Son of God. So that our peace is connected to all of these other offerings, aren't they? All the other aspects of the cross, they must all come together, and they can only come together in one person and one sacrifice. And it happened on the cross of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, let's go to the New Testament now and look at clear doctrinal teaching that tells us that Jesus Christ is our peace offering. Just so you understand that we're not making this up. We're not connecting dots that shouldn't be connected. God wants us to connect these dots. When you read of these Old Testament sacrifices, God wants you to understand what the picture he was drawing for you. And here in Ephesians 2, we no longer have pictures, but we have the person of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. And again, these are familiar words to most of us. But I want us to try to comprehend where we would be this morning without the salvation that we enjoy by faith in Jesus Christ. This is where we were. We were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There is no hope, there's no promise of the blessings of the Creator apart from being reconciled back to Him. And there's only one way to be reconciled, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This is what peace means, to have peace with God. We've been brought near. We were separated. We were lost. We've been brought near, but by what? By the blood of Christ, by His sacrifice. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. He's talking about the church, made up of both Jew and Gentile. The Jews, God gave a special revelation. He gave the law of Moses. He gave them a covenant that allowed them to worship Him and enter into His blessings based on what He revealed to them. But that was only a stepping stone to what He wanted to do for the entire human race. And that takes place in the peace offering that is His Son. And verse 16, and that He might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, to God, in one body, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. This is what peace is. This is what Jesus becoming the peace offering did for us. It gave us access to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. What a change. From enemy to a citizen of heaven, with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Saints, I rejoice this morning when I think of Jesus as my peace offering. It is a joyous celebration as we come and take the Lord's Supper. Because Jesus reconciled me back to God, I was His enemy because of my sin. Born a sinner by nature, lived a sinner by practice. Enmity against the God who created me for a purpose, created me to have fellowship with Himself. My sin separated me from my God. But Christ laid down His life to make peace. And now I am no longer God's enemy, but now I'm a citizen of heaven. I am a member of the household of God. I'm His child. That puts me in a place of favor, a place of grace, a place where the Creator of heaven and earth can show me all of His goodness and His mercy. I can have fellowship with Him because Jesus made peace with me. He reconciled me back to Himself. Colossians 1:19. No wonder God commanded Israel to celebrate in the day of their gladness with the peace offering. You celebrate. You rejoice. And in doing so, they benefited from it. In the natural, they had a good meal because of it. They were joyous. They had a good time in the natural. But saints, ours goes beyond natural blessings. Ours are spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and they are eternal. Colossians 1:19 through 22. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace. But how did He do that? Just by walking around and preaching? Is that how Jesus made peace between man and God? No. It was through the blood of His cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled. in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Saints, I rejoice to know that right now I know that I'm right with God. And it's not because I've put the list of what I've done right and what I've done wrong. And, well, I think my list of what I did right is a little longer than what I did wrong. So I must be good with God. No, you do that. You're a bad accountant if you try to account for your own sin. You're not the one who's going to check the list. Saints, I know I'm right with God because Jesus is my peace offering. I bring that understanding before God, and I know that I'm accepted in the Beloved because Jesus paid the price. He is my peace offering. And I rejoice to know that now I have a standing in grace, a standing in favor. Romans 5, let's read the words so you know that this is God's revelation to you. Revelation 5, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, take time to rejoice in what Christ has accomplished for you. Leave this place pointing others to the power of Jesus Christ to save. Do it without shame. Do it with boldness and confidence to know that Jesus will redeem and reconcile anyone who is willing to accept the peace offering. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, not works, but by faith, we have peace with God because the one is already settled. The automatic result, if you're justified by faith, the automatic result is you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, the favor of God, the blessings of God, in which we stand. Every child of God stands in grace. It's an eternal standing. It will never change. I will never face the wrath of God, never face the condemnation of God, because I stand in grace and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I don't worry about if one day I might make the wrong mistake and end up in hell. My certain expectation is glory, because Jesus is my peace offering. We stand in grace, saints, but what we need to understand this morning is that circle of grace is infinite. And he wants us to walk deeper and deeper and deeper into all that Christ died to give us. The problem is so many Christians, they stand just inside the circle of grace and they're content. And that's certainly a far better place than where they were standing before they accepted Christ. But saints, I want to enter into everything that Christ died to give me. And I can do so because I know I stand in grace. Now I want to walk by grace. I want to walk deeper and deeper. Romans chapter 5 and verses 8 through 10. A little further down the chapter there. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I possess the very life of Christ. We have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. And now that we have peace, there are certain benefits from peace. Just even in the natural, neighboring countries are at peace with each other. There are certain benefits from that lack of conflict, from that peace. It tends to prosperity. It tends to commerce and for the two countries to be able to share with one. And if one lacks one thing, they can give that. And there's just that interchange. It's a blessing to have peace. But when you stop and think about who we have been called to fellowship with because we have peace. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Partnership, not enemies, not fighting each other, but working together for mutual benefit. We glorify God with our life as we surrender our will to His, and He abundantly blesses us for life and for eternity. That's a pretty good arrangement. That's a pretty good partnership. We share His life, 2 Peter 1. Some of the things that we benefit because we have peace. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. When we were His enemies, we didn't have this. Now that there's peace, we do. 2 Peter 1, 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. You already possess both of those if you're a believer, but they can be multiplied. You can go deeper in them. In the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Twice we understand the fullness of these blessings by knowing more about God and His Son. There's only one place to find that knowledge. It's in the study of His Word by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Because Jesus is my peace offering, I possess the divine nature of God. Now again, if the Bible didn't teach that, that would be downright blasphemy. But God says this is what happened because Jesus died for you. Ephesians 3, we share in the strength of Jesus Christ. We share the understanding of the wisdom of God because of peace. We benefit from the love of God rather than fearing His wrath. We understand God is our Father. Just stop and think about that blessing. Who's your dad? God. Who's your father? The Creator of heaven and earth. Created everything from nothing. He's the one who said, "Son, I'm going to take care of your every need." That is only possible because Jesus is my peace offering. Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. This is what we're sharing, saints, because of peace. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Are you discouraged this morning? We go through times like that, don't we? Rejoice this morning that Jesus is your peace offering. As you take the Lord's Supper, remember that a part of what it is demonstrating and illustrating is your living fellowship with God as your Father, because Jesus died for you. Strengthen in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know by experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Saints, do you believe those familiar words? How many times have you read it? How many times have you quoted? But if you believe them, do you see why, understanding Jesus being your peace offering, do you see why we have reason to rejoice? Why we as God's people ought to celebrate and be glad that we are the children of God? We need to rejoice this morning. We need to rejoice every morning. In Revelation 19, in verses 7 to 8, we see the ultimate degree of fellowship with Jesus Christ. But even this highest degree to which we can attain by the grace of God, if we so desire, even this place closest to Christ in eternity would not be possible if peace had never been made. And we need to understand that when we talk about the deeper things of God. It's never that you get so deep in the things of God that you no longer need to talk about the cross, or you no longer need to talk about salvation or telling others about Christ. You know, we're concentrated, and I've heard testimonies to this effect, not in this assembly particularly, but over the years I've heard people say, you know, I'm just so focused on winning Christ, I don't have time to witness to others about Jesus. Well, that's not going to work. This highest place in glory is because Jesus died on the cross for me and gave me and every one of his children the same opportunity. And this is why he died for a lost world. He died for his enemies, that they might have the opportunity to become friends, to become children, to become the very Lamb's wife. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad. Let us rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. I'm glad for the depth of the riches that Christ offers me because he reconciled me back to God. One of the details of the peace offering was that the worshiper, the Israelite, could offer any of the animals that he wanted within the eligible animals. It was a voluntary thing. Some of the others, God says, if you're this status of or this position in society, this is what you offer. You can't offer a dove when you're supposed to offer the oxen. But in this case, the degree of fellowship was the choice. This was voluntary. How much are you thankful? How much do you appreciate what Christ did for you on the cross? It's up to you. God says, I'm not going to force you to be thankful. I'm going to command you to be thankful, but you have to respond. The degree that we respond to the love and the grace of God will determine the degree that we enter into that infinite circle of grace and benefit from the favor of God. 2 Corinthians 9, let's look at a principle here that Paul applied to an offering that he was taking. But Paul made it clear that an offering given by a child of God is not just money. It's not just about money. There's something more here. There's a spiritual principle that applies to every aspect of our life and what the service that we render to God. And this principle is stated for us in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace, not just a little, but all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Again, this principle applies to every area of our life, not just the giving of our natural resources. The more appreciative you are of what God's grace has done for you, the more of your life you will give to him. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly of the benefits that Christ died to give you. But if you're willing to give your all, remember the peace offering was offered on top of the burnt offering. That not only speaks to us of Christ's consecration, but of our own. Are we willing to offer our peace offering? God, thank you. Well, are you just saying thank you and throwing the peace offering on the altar? Or is the burnt offering there first? God, I owe you my all, and I rejoice that I have the privilege to give myself to you. That's the picture that we see by the offering. The requirement, the regulation concerning the meat having to be eaten the first day, or in some cases on the second day. The meat couldn't be dried. It couldn't be preserved, the meat from the peace offering. It had to be eaten that day, and in some cases just the next day. To me, this speaks of the need for our fellowship, our service, our thanks to be fresh every day. It's not enough to talk about when you got saved 20 years ago. It's not enough to talk about the day you got filled 15 years ago. It's not enough to talk about what you did back then. God wants you to rejoice in the peace offering and all that it provides for you today. Lamentations chapter 3. Two more passages before we close this morning. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That was Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Now stop and think about that once again if you believe that. His mercies are new every morning. He is faithful day in and day out. He saved us with an everlasting redemption. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Is our faithfulness, is our thanksgiving, is our rejoicing, is it also daily? Is it fresh? All of us have gone through times when we, for whatever reason, sometimes it's because of neglect, sometimes it's because we become overwhelmed with our circumstances or a trial. There are many reasons why we get distracted, and there are times when we just simply forget or fail to say, God, thank you. This morning I'm a child of God, and I can face today, and I can face tomorrow, and I can face death, and I can face eternity, because I'm a child of God, because I've been reconciled to God and I stand in grace. Is that a daily passion with you? Saints, it needs to be. Don't try to live on past offerings of thanksgiving. Offer it today. If his mercies are new and fresh every day, my devotion, my service to him needs to be new and fresh every day. Yesterday's devotion, yesterday's service, yesterday's worship is no good for today. And God says, I don't accept that. We'll close with Psalm 92. David knew what it was to keep his walk with the Lord fresh. He also knew what it was like and the trouble that it caused when he didn't surrender every day to God, every area of his life. But in Psalm 92 and verses 1 through 5, when you're overwhelmed with sadness, when you're confused, when you're discouraged, and there's not a one of us here that have not suffered all of those things, but when you are confused, saddened, discouraged, overwhelmed, remember these words. It is good, beneficial, profitable to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Does that describe your worship of God because of Jesus Christ? On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, on the harp, with harmonious sounds, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. What a glorious privilege we have, saints, to fellowship with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. This morning as we partake of the Lord's Supper, and every morning and every evening till Jesus comes, may we rejoice that Jesus was made our peace offering today.